Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network for this Monday, May the 13th. Thank you for listening to AFR. Walker Wildman is co-hosting with me today. I'm Tim Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here this Monday.
And Fred Jackson.
Good to be here, but I wish we were doing the show outside today.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I came from a separate building here on our campus, and yeah, nice day to hit the picnic tables outside and do the show from out there today. It's beautiful. After our, 4 days of
we've had a lot of rain. I think y'all saw the headline. I'm sure you told me about it, Dad, over the weekend about the record rain, not just in Mississippi, but across the U.S., record rains.
Right. Yes. It's like the wettest.
Oh, yeah.
The wettest year in history or something like that since they've been recording it.
We have a lot of folks that listen to us in Houston, Texas.
They flooded again, didn't they?
They're getting pounded again. Some folks are just getting their lives back to some degree of normalness after the flooding a few years ago.
Also, been flooding up in the
up north,
upper middle, you know, out in the heartland.
Yep.
Nebraska.
Yep.
South Dakota.
Mississippi River communities.
Iowa.
It's been a mess there too. Yeah.
So So it's been wet everywhere. So we're ready for that to end so that
bring on the sunshine.
Amen, brother. Mm. I think there's a song there. Let's join hands, Fred and Walker. It's called Let the Sunshine. Let the Sunshine.
That's a good song.
Remember that?
I do.
Let the Sunshine. Okay.
I know who sang it too.
It sounds good.
What?
Fifth Dimension.
Was that right?
Fifth Dimension.
From the 60s, right?
Yes.
60s.
I was a DJ back then.
Oh, so you spun the record.
I spun the 45s. Now, Walker's probably not familiar with
Walker,
that.
Walker, spun the record?
A 45 is a vinyl record.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
A small one.
He's been to museums.
A 45 is about that big, and you put it on the record player.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. So that's what you did?
I did.
You dropped the needle on it, right?
Whoa, Walker.
But you got to make sure. But your needle has to be in good condition.
Yes.
Because if your needle goes bad, then it doesn't sound good.
And also, sometimes on those vinyl 45s, they would get scratched.
Mm-hmm.
And the needle would get caught.
Yeah.
Let the sunshine shine.
While you're on the radio?
Shine. Oh, yeah.
Then you got to go over there and fix it.
You're playing this song live on the radio using a scratched record. Of course,
you better be there. If the boss was listening and he heard shine.
Where did you do this? Where in Canada?
This was in Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Okay.
I was in high school, and that's when I started in this business, doing, you know, summertime stuff. And
Playing records, huh?
Playing records. I think I've said before, one of my favorite was Hey Jude.
Hey Jude from the Beatles?
Yep. It was 7 minutes long, which allowed me to go out to the washroom and do some other things. Get out of the Coke
machine. Didn't care. All you cared about... You like those seven-minute records if you're a DJ back in the 60s.
No, didn't like. They became necessary when you're doing a six-hour shift
overnight,
midnight to 6 in the morning.
Right.
Yeah. You needed those long records, okay?
I hear you, brother. So so the people and the DJs in the 70s, they loved American Pie.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They loved American Pie.
Don McLean?
Right.
I think so.
Because that was like... 27-minute song, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that, I think it was. Like
let her go.
Half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Walker, how can people follow this here show?
Yeah, the best way is to visit our website, afr.net. There you can listen and catch past shows. Also, you can download the app, which is also a place to listen on your smartphone, tablet device. I know on Trivia Friday this past week, we talked to a listener down in Louisiana who listens all the time on her online. She... lives outside
she
of a signal.
She lives in the swamp.
That's right, and she listens all the time on the internet. So a great way to listen now. Also, you can visit our YouTube and Facebook page, type in Today's Issues.
You said, though, we do have a radio station that covers New Orleans.
We do.
An AFR station.
Yeah, it's in the swamp of southeast
New Orleans. It's south of New Orleans, our tower is, right?
In Burris, Louisiana.
Burris, Louisiana. Okay, so there you go. And all of our stations we have on our AFR.net website.
Yeah, we have a station map of the United States. You can zoom in to a city near you and find a station.
How many stations do we have now?
180.
What happened to the one? We had 181. Do we need to go look for that one?
Yeah, we can go look and try to discover it.
We need to go after that one lost station?
Maybe we have 181. Who knows? I have trouble keeping count.
I think we have 181. Last time you told me we had 181, and you haven't told me we sold any. So I think we have 181. All right, Fred, what's happening?
Well, I think, you know, if you listen, watch the news over the last few weeks, it's kind of an endless parade of stories, Democrat statements. They're going to subpoena this person. They want tax records of the president and other people, and so on and so on and so on. All many people think it's just because they didn't get what they wanted from the Mueller investigation. They wanted to tie the president to the Russians in the 2016 election. So you've heard all of that. Now, what's coming up? The big news, folks, coming up is Inspector General Michael Horowitz. And he has been investigating the investigators. In other words, he has been investigating the Justice Department under Barack Obama, particularly in the summer of 2016, 3 or 4 months before the election. And we all know now there were FBI agents and others who didn't like Donald Trump. They were hoping he didn't win. But when it became obvious that he was going to win, Hillary Clinton was going to lose, there was what many people believe a plan B put in place. And that was to discredit the administration of Donald Trump and make sure he didn't get reelected once again. Well, what happened on Friday, there was a story that came out from the American Thinker. We know that the FBI, under James Comey's direction, he was the FBI director at the time, that they went to the FISA court. I think most of our listeners understand what the FISA court is. It was set up in the wake of 9/11 to basically get, it's a court set up, get special permission to do some spying on people.
Because you suspect them of potential terrorist connections or some kind of illegalities by a foreign government.
That is correct.
Our country. So it's a special court. It's called... What does FISA stand for, Walker?
Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
Right.
Yes. So what Michael Horowitz reports now indicate, there were five applications from the FBI to the FISA court to basically spy on people associated with Donald Trump.
The Trump campaign.
That's right. What is being reported by American
So we're talking
thinker,
the FBI here.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about the FBI spying on a... presidential campaign, true?
That is correct.
Okay.
What the report that came out late last week that a lot of folks probably have not heard because it's not being reported widely, this report was in the American Thinker, and I think there was one other publication. Don DeGenova, who is a lawyer, a journalist.
I think you pronounce it, excuse me.
It's DeGenova.
DeGenova, yeah. I'm sorry. Anyway, in the American Thinker, he reports that of the four FISA applications that came from the FBI, three of them were acquired illegally. Hmm. Now, you may say, okay, what do you mean by that? Well, basically, the belief is that there was information in those FISA applications in which, at the very least, the FBI did not disclose to the FISA court where they got that information, the source of the information. So there's that story. But there was another fascinating one, and we chat a little bit about this late Friday afternoon. The second revelation from the reporter, even more shocking, the FBI attempted to set up a sting on George Papadopoulos, who was a worker within the Trump campaign. All right? Now listen to this, folks. This is the stuff of movies. It is believed the Justice Department, the FBI, offered him $10,000 in cash.
Offered who?
Papadopoulos. All right?
Okay.
Which he left, and this was done in Europe, I believe, somewhere. They come to his room. They offer him $10,000 in cash. which he left at the hotel room bed where it was offered him. This trap represented, I'm reading here, was fully revealed when Papadopoulos returned to the USA and customs agents unsuccessfully searched for the $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So offered a bribe of sort, I believe that's
what it was. Yeah, they were trying to get Papadopoulos to work with the Israelis, allegedly.
Yes.
It was all fake.
Yeah.
But it was a setup. But they were saying, look, we'll give you this $10,000, and you're on the Trump campaign. You're in a very powerful position. You can work with Israel and foreign relations, and we can work together. Here's this $10,000.
Who's doing this?
The FBI.
The FBI.
Our own FBI in the United States sends an informant, an undercover agent.
To try to set this guy up, basically?
To set Papadopoulos up in Paris. Yes. At a hotel,
mm-hmm.
meets
Who's
in the hotel
authorizing
room.
This kind of stuff?
The FBI, the top officials at the FBI. Why? This was their backdoor into the Trump campaign. Let's get this. This guy only met with Trump one time. Papadopoulos
mm-hmm.
only met the candidate Trump one time. Shook his hand at a meeting with 50 people. This was not a top level official. This was a low level volunteer
they trying to
guy.
Accomplish then?
They were wanting access to the Trump campaign. So they could spy on President Trump.
So you're saying to me, Fred, you answer this, and then Walker, or maybe it doesn't matter. I'm trying to understand, get a full appreciation for what was going on here, because this particular story I've not been following as closely as I have the Carter Page spying on the Trump campaign through the person who worked for the Trump campaign. Carter Page was the gentleman's name here,
mm-hmm.
which you talked about earlier. But FBI Director James Comey's been talking a lot to the public, right?
He sure has.
Yeah.
Has he commented on this particular situation?
Not that I'm aware of.
No. I have not seen it.
Because, I don't want to act like, now, I don't trust him or that whole bunch up there that was at the top,
mm-hmm.
okay, that we all know about them now. They had an agenda against the president.
Mm-hmm.
When he was running his campaign, and certainly when he went into office, we all know that now.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Hillary Clinton cabal,
right?
Hillary Clinton support team cabal,
yeah,
is how I looked at it. But I want to give our FBI the benefit of the doubt. Don't laugh. I try to give the FBI the benefit of the doubt when they're. In other words, I'm thinking to myself, there must be an explanation. For why you would try to offer somebody who had a small connection to the Trump campaign, you try to offer him a lot of what are they
$10,000 cash?
Okay, what $10,000 cash to do what?
To work on some foreign relations business deal
with
because
who?
He's a Trump. Because I think it was
what's the ultimate objective here?
The ultimate objective for the FBI
yes.
in sending an agent to Paris
yes.
with $10,000 cash. Is to provide probable cause to get a FISA warrant application. Papadopoulos takes $10,000 cash from a foreign agent working for the Trump campaign. There's collusion.
Yeah, but this sounds like a setup to me.
It is a setup.
It sounds like to me you're framing somebody.
This was about creating a backdoor into the Trump campaign so they could spy on Trump.
This sounds awful.
Well,
it is.
But here's the other aspect, and this is an important ingredient in this story. So Papadopoulos leaves the $10,000 in cash on the bed at the hotel.
Now, y'all are reading from a novel.
No. No.
You're reading from like a novel or something. No, you're not?
No. Yeah. He flies back to the USA. He's going through customs. The customs agents ask Papadopoulos, where's the $10,000? How did that customs agent know that Papadopoulos might have $10,000?
Because the FBI called the airport
and told him. That's spooky.
Yep.
Huh?
And
I'd be watching my
and
back.
According to this American Thinker report, one of the customs agents then says to Papadopoulos, this is what happens when you work for Donald Trump.
Now, how do you verify what you just said? Who's saying this?
This is coming from a well-respected U.S. former U.S. attorney
mm-hmm.
under previous administration.
Is this DeGeneva saying
Joe
this?
Joe DeGeneva, who was yes. a U.S. attorney for the Department of Justice.
I do trust him, yes,
said
as a
this.
Source.
Yeah.
Okay. And this appeared in the American Thinker. Did you put
yes,
that
sir.
Up on our website, our Facebook page?
Mm-hmm.
So we have what Fred just quoted from. We have the source, and we put it on our Facebook page. So go to Today's Issues Facebook page, and you can access this story for yourself. But this information, too, also appeared Part of it appeared in the
Examiner,
Washington Examiner, over the weekend.
And here's, I think, the point of all of this. I believe many Democrats know this information is about to be made official and public by the Inspector General, okay. Michael Horowitz.
Okay.
So they're blowing, Democrats are blowing all this smoke about Donald Trump Jr. going to get him back.
Constitutional crisis,
all of that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's a great talking point for the Democrats right now. I think we actually have a clip of a bunch of Democrats talking about constitutional crisis. Brent, it's cut number 12. Have a listen.
We are looking at a crisis, not only of confidence, but potentially a constitutional crisis.
The constitutional crisis happens when you've got the president who has been overreaching.
We're clearly in a constitutional crisis, one that the Trump administration have created.
It really is a constitutional crisis.
This administration wants to have a constitutional crisis.
We've talked for a long time about approaching a constitutional crisis. We are now in it.
Do you agree with Congressman Nadler, Chairman Nadler, that that we're in a constitutional crisis?
We are.
That was a string of Democrats, Nadler, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi.
These people are so, and don't get me wrong, folks, Republicans are human and they're capable of lying too. Mm-hmm. And it has happened and it will probably happen again. But let me tell you something. With these Democrats, what you just heard right there, mm-hmm. that whole quote constitutional crisis thing, is just manufactured malarkey that they're just using to throw up against the wall and seeing what'll stick. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example here. Attorney General Barr, mm-hmm. William Barr.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Last week or the week before, when was it? It was last week, I think it was. Okay, he agreed to appear before the United States Senate.
Yes.
And I think he sat there for 6 hours mm-hmm. or something like that and answered questions from senators, mm-hmm. Democrats and Republicans, about the Mueller report.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
And he was willing to answer any questions you had of him about that. Mm-hmm. Then the Democrats in the House of Representatives, through Nadler, they wanted William Barr to appear the very next day. Mm-hmm. And what they wanted him to do, they wanted William Barr, the Attorney General, to sit there, and the Democrats wanted to, instead of them asking questions, that is, the House of Representatives members who were Democrats, they wanted to send their lawyers, their staff lawyers, to this committee meeting and grill Barr all day with their staff lawyers.
And prosecute him.
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. And what Barr said is, I'll be glad to appear at your committee hearing, mm-hmm. like I did in the Senate for 6 hours, and answer any questions you might have if you ask them, Mr. Democrat Congressman. But I'm not coming to sit there and be grilled by your staffers. Mm-hmm. Well, that's when that Democrat from Tennessee, what was his name, Cohen, mm-hmm. brought the bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
Remember when they put the chicken over there, mm-hmm. the rubber chicken or whatever? Everybody had a good laugh on the Democrat side, and the media did, because of what they were saying was Barr is too chicken mm-hmm. to appear before our House. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, no, he's not, but he's not going to come and answer questions just from your lawyers who answer questions from you, which is the routine and normal way mm-hmm. that attorney generals mm-hmm. appear before the Congress. So anyway, this whole thing and that whole thing about constitutional crisis is just manufactured. This is all part of the resistance that's been going on before the president was even. And then they're subpoenaing all his financial records mm-hmm. from how long ago? It's just complete, total harassment. And so when the president's saying, you know what? Enough is enough. We're not complying with all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And William Barr goes, I'm not going to sit. Then the Democrats say, oh, you're not, you don't want open and honest government. You're trying to thwart the law, and we have a constitutional crisis. I just wanted people to realize that's all just manufactured.
Yes.
Just, huh?
Yeah.
Just manufactured.
I think the Inspector General's report, which is due over the next 3 or 4 weeks, is just going to blow the lid. off of
At first, it appeared that we had a few bad apples at the top.
Mm-hmm.
James Comey, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page. But the more that's coming out,
mm-hmm.
this was an elaborate, well-thought-out and planned scheme to frame the Trump campaign as being illegitimate.
Yes.
This was the insurance policy that they talked about it in Andrew McCabe's office.
Peter Strzok texted about?
This was the insurance policy. This is well planned out. I wouldn't be surprised if the Attorney General Loretta Lynch at the time knew about it. They carried it out successfully.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you remember Loretta Lynch was the one who, as sitting Attorney General, met with former President Bill Clinton on the tarmac at the Phoenix Airport.
That's right.
In a private meeting. Mm-hmm. And all the while, the FBI was, which she was overseeing, was investigating, I use that in quotations, Hillary Clinton for the bathroom
server
that she did State Department business on, which she wanted nobody to know she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how that all turned out. Don't want to rehash that again. But so, and Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who was working directly for Barack Obama, was the one who told James Comey, don't call this as an investigation publicly. You call this a matter.
Yes. Right.
Huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
So she interfered she was tracking this and following this closely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think she was going to make sure that
the Clintons were protected.
Hillary Clinton was protected because everybody knew she was going to be the Democrat nominee.
Mm-hmm.
And if she goes down in some kind of a scandal, how terrible that would be for all of us.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about Loretta Lynch, which, gentlemen, does beg the question, what did President Barack Obama know about all this?
Yeah.
Does it not?
Good question.
I think he knew everything.
I'm sure he did. I mean, he's the commander in chief.
I think he was given intelligence briefings every day. He had to know what the FBI was up to.
In going after Trump's campaign?
Both. Yes.
I think both.
And I think there's no secret. John Brennan, who headed the CIA at the time, he was involved.
That's a cabinet-level position.
He's involved with all of
this. Well, the CIA director, John Brennan, said on MSNBC after Trump won that this is talking about the Russia hoax. This is what happens when you go after the swamp.
Yeah.
The swamp bites back, is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And paraphrase. But basically saying, if you go after the swamp, then we're going to come after you.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing with Trump right now.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what he said?
Yeah, I'll pull up the
exact quote.
Honestly,
this explains why President Trump, over the last few years, has been saying from the beginning, it was all a witch hunt. We're talking about the Mueller investigation. He knew there was no collusion between the Russians.
Right.
And now they're trying to say, well, President Trump was obstructing justice. No, he was asking questions that became more and more public that the FBI really was rotten to its core. It was anti-Trump all the way along. You had a president who knew his own Justice Department was corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is why he kept asking questions, why James Comey was fired.
And that's why he was also upset with Jeff Sessions.
Exactly.
Huh?
Exactly.
If he knew Jeff Sessions had recused himself, so he wasn't going to involve himself in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you knew anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This is So this is all likely to break in the next week.
It's either coming out in the next few weeks of May or early in
June.
And
our source on this is Joe DeGeneva.
That's one of the sources.
One of the sources on this. And we got this. So, and he's a very reputable source. And we'll be back in a minute with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
You would have thought that maybe the left might have gotten the hint. They might have been so embarrassed by the truth that's coming flooding out, that they would have been quiet or they would have repented, they would have changed, but they're just digging their heels in.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Our Holy Land tour for March of 2020 is set. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Last year, we sold out in August, and I expect us to do that again this year. There is such a high demand, especially among Christians in America, to see Israel, the land of the Bible. So we're going again in March on our annual trek. So I wanted to go ahead and let you know, if you want to sign up and register, get more information, whatever the case may be, if you want to go to our website, twholyland.com, twholyland.com, everything is there, twholyland.com. You can even print off a brochure from that website. It's going to be a wonderful time visiting Israel with brothers and sisters from across our country as we go to the Holy Land in March. So go ahead and get signed up now, twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Coming up, we expose the Southern Poverty Law Center. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. For decades, the Southern Poverty Law Center has been smearing conservative Christian groups that support traditional marriage. American Family Association, Family Research Council, Alliance Defending Freedom, all labeled hate groups because of their religious beliefs. But now the SPLC is facing scandals, accusations of racism and sexual harassment, and many groups are fighting back. Alliance Defending Freedom attorney Kristen Wagner was a guest on Starnes Country.
Alliance Defending Freedom has taken a stand on that and issued a public letter that calls on corporations to stop relying on the Southern Poverty Law Center. It is a direct mail scam, and they do not have the moral authority to be comparing peaceful organizations like ADF and FRC to those who are perpetrating terrorism.
The Southern Poverty Law Center turned out to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News Commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
So, Fred, Doris Day passed away?
Doris Day passed away, and I think, I guess if you're over 40, you remember some of her movies going way back, and some of her songs. And, you know, she's one of those actresses. She was 97. She passed away. She was kind of an animal activist during her latter years. But
animal rights activist?
Animal rights activist, yes, yes. Okay. Que Sera Sera, one of her songs, What Will Be, Will Be. Some people may remember that.
Oh, yeah. From the Doris Day Show.
Yes, and a lot of different movies. But I was reading this morning, and there were some aspects, I guess, of her background. She gave an interview back several years ago where basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, she said, everybody thought I was Hollywood's sweetheart, but she described herself as not being that case. For instance, on marriage, she went, I think she had three marriages during the course of her lifetime, and she said, she thought it was a good idea that a man and woman should live together out of wedlock prior to marriage. Mm-hmm. So there was, she has
well,
this.
If you've had three, you probably think that way.
Yeah. She had this very squeaky clean, you know, and movies back then, let's face it, were a whole lot different than the movies that are out there today. Mm-hmm. On the set, oh, yeah, on the screen, there was some degree of purity. Let me put it that way, yeah, on the screen. But she was trying to make the point that I'm not the person that you see on the screen. I'm somebody else.
I want to correct one thing before the break. I said that James Clapper said something about the intel agencies being able to go after their political opponents. That was Chuck Schumer, the senator. Mm-hmm. Here's what he said last year talking about Trump. He said, let me tell you, talking to the media, you take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
Yeah, remember when he said that?
Yeah, so Chuck Schumer said basically if you go after the intel agencies, even if they're wrong, then you're done.
They're going to get you back.
They know how to get back at you.
Somebody needs to subpoena him and ask him, what do you mean by that?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. You know, another thing related to that, we'll get back to that in a minute, but talking about the what's likely to happen in the next week, 2 weeks or so with this
Inspector General's report.
Mm-hmm. An Inspector General over the Justice Department, right?
Correct.
An Inspector General, folks, in the government is like it's like an auditor, yep, if you will. Mm-hmm. So it's like an independent auditor. So this gentleman is supposed to be able to ask anybody anything who works for the department or that particular agency, so that he can get to the bottom of things.
That's right.
In an honest, objective, non-political way. Mm-hmm. And so this fellow, what's his name?
Michael Horowitz.
He is the Inspector General over the Justice Department, mm-hmm, and he's the one that's going to release this report, mm-hmm, that we've been talking about, which evidently Joe DeGeneva has inside information on, mm-hmm, and that it's not going to go well for James Comey and others when this report comes out. Now that's one of those we'll have to see.
Stay tuned
for more. Mm-hmm. But if that's true, if this gentleman finds that there was wrongdoing and illegality inside the Justice Department and the FBI, then that's a bombshell.
You remember part of the testimony from Attorney General William Barr back a few weeks ago, where he talked about he's looking at how the department operated,
mm-hmm,
and he used the word spying. Well, the Democrats went ballistic over that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely ballistic. Christopher Wray, the present FBI director, took issue with, he was asked last week, do you really, spy? I don't think it's spying, it's investigating. And you almost have to laugh when you hear that kind of thing. Oh, we don't spy. We just investigate.
Yeah, President Trump's none too happy with this Christopher Wray either. He's the acting FBI director.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net is our email address. Well, Will and Mickey Addison are with us now. And, Will, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Mickey, you there?
I am. I'm here. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thank you. Will and Mickey, the husband-wife team, they lead our Urban Family Communications department. How long?
6 years.
6 years. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this. And your beard's gotten grayer.
Yeah. Yeah. My kids say the same thing.
Is it the kids doing it to you or the job?
They noticed it. So, combination, probably.
A little bit of both, if you ask me.
Mickey, how long have you and Will been in ministry together, though? Because you guys go back to, you both are from New Orleans.
That's right.
And then didn't you do campus ministry?
We did. We worked with Chi Alpha Christian Fellowship, which is the collegiate outreach ministry of the Assemblies of God. And we started doing that. Actually, we were both individually missionaries before we were married in 2004. And then once we were married, we traveled the country as campus missionaries. So we saw the future a while back.
But then, Will, y'all were together at UL.
Yeah, well, that's right. I was a missionary, studying to be a missionary after I graduated from Nichols State University in Thibodaux.
Harvard on the Bayou.
Yeah, that's what we call it.
Harvard on the Bayou. So then y'all went to, but I thought you had in Lafayette or?
Yeah, that's where I did my internship.
Yeah.
And to study to be a campus missionary. That's why I met Mickey.
Okay, so that's where y'all met. And then who got you hooked up with AFR?
Oh, man, AFR and
Marvin Sanders.
Marvin did?
We were longtime listeners mm-hmm. to AFR, and we were activisty. You know, we would participate in the boycotts and things like that. Right. And some of them would come at the worst times. Like I'd be pregnant and we'd be boycotting McDonald's. And I'm like, oh man, you know, but you do it for the kingdom. And right. so you give up those French fries. But we were activists and, you know, with our local station there. And then I started volunteering mm-hmm. to do a morning show with one of our managers. Then you remember when there were managers right. all across the country. And so Marvin Sanders happened through on his way to MD Anderson. And I was really curious about what was happening in our culture, and I was asking him some pretty provocative questions, and I think he was a little bit shocked, and that's what started my introduction, I guess, to the national ministry, and we've been here for 10 years.
And then y'all came on board, managed the station there for us in Lafayette.
Yeah, we were a part of it. We didn't manage it. Yeah.
But then you came on with us here in Tupelo.
Yeah.
At American Family Radio. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then headed up our... Urban Family Outreach.
Yeah, I think it's important to know that we weren't brought here to do that. We were brought here to be a part of the ministry. The Outreach started 5 years into our time here. And so we were just looking at the culture and looking at the direction that our culture was going in. And we said, well, how do we respond with a concerted effort? And that's what we did.
Mm-hmm. Right. But the intent of the outreach, Will, mm-hmm. Urban Family Outreach, that is under the umbrella of AFA and AFR, right. is, I mean, it's obviously anybody can listen and engage,
definitely.
But your heart is for reaching the African-American community.
Yeah, and it that's what we're the target audience,
right.
you know, but we found that
that's why you play the rap music and all that, right?
You know,
a little bit of Lecrae.
Used to be Lecrae.
Yeah. He jumped the shark.
Yeah. Well, we got some other good ones.
Oh, yeah.
Good artists.
Flame.
Yeah.
I'm just, I'm... But the heartbeat is reaching the African American community with the gospel message and with the truth about biblical values and all this and so forth. And we've been pretty successful
with
the limited number of stations that you were able to.
Yeah, I think so. We've gotten a lot of testimonies and you know emails from people.
Praise
God. Who were happy they found us.
Yeah, so. There are more and more. I'm convinced there are more and more. And who knows? I don't have a survey in front of me or numbers. More and more African-American folks that are, that are listening to AFR.
Mm-hmm.
But also coming around to the knowledge that, you know what, maybe I haven't been told the whole truth by the political leaders of the party.
Yep, I agree.
Of the Democrat Party in particular.
I agree. They're becoming woke. In a good way.
That's the new term, isn't it?
In the good way, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, good deal. Well, we appreciate we do here at AFA and AFR Mickey and Will's leadership mm-hmm. for our Urban Family Communications Outreach. Now, Mickey, tell us about this conference we've got coming up June 20th through the 22nd.
Yeah, this is the second conference that we're doing here at the American Family Association where we are targeting what we hope will be every aspect of the generations that are out there. So it's the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference. Last year was the first year. We had about 300 or so attendees where we also had a kids apologetics track. So we're trying to not only target parents and grandparents, but we're looking at millennials and Gen Z, which, by the way, if you're keeping up with Gen Z, they are the least religious group in the history of this country. And one of the things I say about that is I just want people to understand that these kids are eating grits at your table. They're the least religious
group. Gen Z are the ones that come behind the millennials?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly right. They are the youngest generation right now that has been assigned a category.
Okay.
And they are the least religious in the history of this country. And it really speaks to a failure of the church to pass down the gospel intact to the next generation. And again, I think this should be startling because these are not people who have left home and decided that, religion's not for me. These are people who are still under your roof and they've decided, religion's not for me. And so we are trying to respond to that by including a children's track in this conference that is going to be facilitated by J. Warner Wallace, cold case detective, who is going to bring his skills as a detective to help the next generation make a case for their faith. of the Bible. He's also going to be speaking in our main session, and we're really, really excited about that. I mean, he's in demand all across this country. And in fact, he'll be leaving us like the day after the conference because he's got another something coming up, and he couldn't do it. He said to me, Miki, you know, I really can't do this, but man, I believe in what you guys are doing, so we're going to make it happen. Yeah. So he's going to be here, and we're really excited about that.
This conference is called the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference. It's in Tupelo, Mississippi, the headquarters for AFA and AFR, June 20th through the 22nd. Hope Church will be hosting it. And if people want to read about this, and we're having an open house here, by the way, too.
That's right.
We're having an open house here at our ministry the weekend of the conference. And so people want to come here, be a part of the conference, and then come by and see us here at AFA and AFR. We would love to have you do that. Anything else? We'll tell folks how they can find out more and register.
Yeah, you actually can go to AFR.net. We have a link there, or UrbanFamilyTalk.com. And all the registration information is right there. Just click. You can see the conference at a glance, kind of the schedule for the kids and for the adults.
So
and
what? How old for the kids? What
4 age? To 13.
So if you want to bring your 4, 5, 6-year-old, we're going to take care of them?
Exactly.
Will and Miki, to their credit, they have special programming and classes, if you will.
You're not just going to give them animal cookies and Kool-Aid.
No, they're going to learn something.
Yeah, they have activities.
they're going to learn
apologetics. They're going to learn to defend their faith, and we don't give kids enough credit. Our culture does. They know what they're capable of, but the church, for some reason, has kind of been slow on the uptake. So, no, they are instructed, and they are trained in apologetics for the 2 days of the conference. We don't believe in babysitting. We believe in equipping our kids to hold the gospel with a firm grasp. And so that's going to be a part of it. Can I say this before you guys have to move on, Doris Day, but I just want to say, I know there's bigger fish to fry. Right. Let me just say this. If I could make a humble appeal to pastors who are listening to me, I want to say this because we hear from believers all across this country who are in a state of panic. The culture has sort of beaten them down, and now they don't know how to respond, right? So we have been guilty of saying, hey, you know, let's get together and make sure we create the kind of climate and the kind of environment where everyone feels welcome. And now those people who once just wanted to feel welcome are taking over. And members of your church, members of your congregation are at a loss. They don't know how to deal with the culture that is closing in on them. We have solutions. We have biblical solutions. Earlier this month, there was a conference that was under the name that would have caused you to believe, I won't call it, would have caused you to believe that the focus was the gospel. That's not at all what they taught. At this conference, what was taught was that whiteness is bad. Mm-hmm. Please understand this, right? Wokeness is the new philosophy that has infiltrated the church. And so this is a discussion where we're talking about intersectionality, who has the most points of oppression. And people are going to these kinds of conferences, and then they're coming back to your church, and they are infecting your congregation, where now your kids treat with disdain this truth that you are preaching. They treat with disdain this Bible that you hold up. And it's happening on our watch. So if I could make an appeal to pastors, youth pastors, senior pastors, please implore your congregation to be equipped. You know, when we look at false teachers, the way that they thrive and the way that they survive is that they appeal to, 1 Timothy says in chapter 6, they appeal to those who are depraved in mind and deprived of truth. Depraved in mind and deprived of truth. And we see this happening. It's an epidemic in the church. And so we want to equip the body of Christ to be able to stand against it. One other thing, Laura Perry will be with us. She lived for about 10 years as a transgender man until the Lord radically saved her and called her out of that lifestyle. She actually signed the boycott Target petition while she was still living as a man because she was like, well, that's a bridge too far. Wow. So she's going to be there where we're going to talk about how the church responds, it's not even a sexual revolution anymore. It's the norm of our culture. Yeah. Anyway, so
it's
just
going to be, the conference is going to be dynamite. Jay Warner Wallace, probably the leading speaker on apologetics in America today, is going to be there.
That's right.
As well. It's going to be dynamite. Again, it's June 20th through the 22nd. What do you start on a Friday?
It's a Thursday evening, but the main events are on Friday and Saturday.
Okay. And if you want more information on this, go to AFR.net.
Yep.
AFR.net. Last year, we had folks from all over the country.
Yeah, all
That's
over.
That's right.
Yep.
It's phenomenal.
We want to go from 300 to 500.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully,
amen.
This time. AFR.net. It's called Marriage, Family, and Life Conference. Thank you, Miki.
God bless you guys.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker and Fred, we thank you for listening to AFR. You want to watch the show, go to YouTube or Facebook and just type in Today's Issues. Today's Issues. Next story, Fred.
You know, in the last couple of weeks, you probably heard about the survey that Christianity now is the most persecuted religion in the world. The most persecuted religion in the world. Just imagine that. And it was very interesting. This past weekend, Vice President Mike Pence was the commencement speaker at Liberty University. And I want you to listen to what he said. He had a warning for the kids graduating, the young people graduating, that they better get ready. Now, this is in the United States of America, kids at a Christian school. They were warned by the Vice President of the United States to get ready for persecution. And this morning on Fox and Friends, Franklin Graham was asked to respond to that about this idea from Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, that Christians in this country had better be ready for persecution. Cut number two.
Some of the loudest voices for tolerance today have little tolerance for traditional Christian beliefs. So as you go about your daily life, just be ready. Because you're going to be asked not just to tolerate things that violate your faith, you're going to be asked to endorse them. So you need to prepare your minds for action, men and women.
He was quoting the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he was talking to his disciples, his followers, if the world hates you, remember, they hated me first. And he went on to warn them that if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And so what the vice president was doing was just quoting the words of Jesus, quoting scripture. And I appreciate that about the vice president. He's a man who reads the Bible. He knows a lot of the scripture. And I'm very proud of him. That was a great message to these students.
And that's the last voice there you recognize, and I'm sure, is Pastor Franklin Graham. He's exactly right. We need to be ready for persecution in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And something that perhaps my generation, we didn't have to worry about, that Christian values were just, you know, in the neighborhood I grew up in, it wasn't all Christians, but there were Christian values. Every home had Christian values. There wasn't a big dispute in the public school system about what is right and what is wrong. But that's all changed today. And I think, you know, our young people have to be prepared for that. You know, Franklin Graham himself has come under fire in recent days about his relationship with the president of the United States. But also he was asked this morning about a comment recently from Democrat Senator Cory Booker, who would like to be the next president of the United States. And you're going to hear Senator Booker mocking people who ask for thoughts and prayers in connection when there's a shooting death of some type. And then Franklin Graham was asked to respond because, and we couldn't play a portion of Senator Booker's response because he used a very bad word. That's what the bleep is in here about. Cut number three.
More people in my lifetime have died in this nation due to gun violence and in all the wars in the Revolutionary War to now. We are not going to give thoughts and prayers, which to me is just...
Well, it's obvious he doesn't understand the power of prayer. God hears prayer. He understands prayer. And you can take all the guns in the world and collect them. People are still going to murder. People are still going to kill. And you take in London right now. They've taken up all the guns, but now the murder rates are increasing because of knives. And the mayor of the city wants to ban all knives. It's the human heart.
There you have it.
You know, I wish Senator Cory Booker showed as much passion and urgency when it comes to the millions of babies that we're killing each year.
Yeah.
More babies have died at the hands, a vast number more babies have died at the hands of abortion than have guns altogether.
Yeah,
you know, and it annoys me every time I hear this phrase. And Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey who wants to be the Democrat nominee, just used it. And the liberals / progressives, and I use that in quotations because even though they call themselves progressives, many of their ideas are...
taking us back in time.
Yeah, they're not progressive at all. And quite frankly, sometimes you don't want to go forward. You're happy. You should be happy right where you are because it's working. It's good for everybody.
Right.
So maybe I'll be a leader of the stationary party. what do you think?
The stationary
party. Stationary people unite.
Mm-hmm.
They use this expression, listen to them, gun violence. Mm-hmm. It's as if guns have a life of their own. Mm-hmm. And guns wake up every morning, you know, and seek who they may kill. Mm-hmm. They rarely want to say that there's a person who has to pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's who's responsible for killing. Now, we already have gun laws, a lot of gun laws, and no more gun laws except for, well, even outlawing guns wouldn't even work, okay? But, and that's what some of these Democrats want to do,
yeah.
Ultimately. They would like to, but it is gonna stop people who are intent on killing other people, mm-hmm. All right? They're just not. So, what's the old saying? If you take the guns away from the law-abiding people, guess who's the only people who are going to have guns?
Criminals.
Exactly.
Criminals.
And, you know, to your point, the Democrats, there's two options when it comes to shootings and murders when people use firearms as the weapon to commit the crime, is you can either go after the inanimate object, the gun, or you can go after the people pulling the trigger.
Yes.
And the Democrats don't want to go after the people pulling the trigger. Why? Because that would be tough on crime.
Yeah.
And they would actually have to punish people for their crimes. Instead, let's go after more government control. There's not – the Democrats always take the path of more government control.
Yeah.
And putting people in jail for crimes and being tough on crime is not a way for them to get more government control.
None of their gun control laws are going to stop what we see – what we see happening across the country when
right.
people kill people.
Right.
Just not going to furthermore, I would submit that as far as gun control, that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
We got so many guns in America all over the place. You're not going to be able to confiscate them all. All right. I just think a lot of these Democrats just do this. It's a knee-jerk reaction. Not all Democrats are like this. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. It's a knee-jerk reaction. So when you have a school shooting, for example, they go, well, somebody ought to do something about this gun violence. If he wouldn't have had a gun, he wouldn't have been able to do this crime. That's what they're going to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh?
They want to turn our country into China, North Korea, where guess what? Guess the only person who has guns. The military.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Guess what they do? They use the guns against the citizens if you step out of line.
It's a dictatorship.
Yeah. Venezuela.
Venezuela.
Same thing.
Yeah, so you take, I'll say this. I'll give up my gun if the whole government and all the police departments give up theirs first.
Yeah.
But that we know that's not going to happen.
Well, I think Franklin Graham's example, too, he looked to London, Mayor of London.
Right.
You know, can't have guns.
Yeah.
And so now people are being murdered with
knives.
Now they want to confiscate all the knives.
I would suggest whoever the Democrat frontrunner is that gets Secret Service protection, they should disarm their Secret Service protection group. Only carry tasers and pepper spray.
Yeah, hold your breath on that one.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Ain't going to do it.
It's not going to happen.
All these people that are for gun control on the liberal side are living in gated communities.
With armed guards.
With armed guards. You ever notice this?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, I know.
All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. We are just about out of time for this hour. Mm-hmm. Fred, tell us, I want our listeners to be aware, if they haven't known it already, we have a news service.
Yeah, that's right.
You guys do a great job over there. Tell our listeners how they can.
Well, along with our radio newscast that you hear at the top of the clock here at American Family Radio each hour, we have a website that takes the radio news stories and puts them up there in print for you every day, onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com. And we, if you sign up on the right-hand side of that website, we'll send you a summary of the big news stories of the day from across the United States and around the world, and in particular, stories done by our Christian reporters to give you news from a Christian perspective. Mm. It is absolutely free. We only send one email each day.
All right, check that out, onenewsnow.com. All right, Walker and I shall return with Steve Jordahl in 5 minutes with more news coming up.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.